Welcome back. We are the WFNY Browns cast. I'm your host, Joe Gilbert. I'm with Taylor Jezrzak, and we're getting you ready for Browns Bills, wherever that may be, whenever that may be,
whatever the weather might be. I don't know.
Yeah.
Who knows?
It's going to be interesting. If you haven't heard, it's supposed to be 6 feet, almost up to 6 feet of snow over the next couple days in Buffalo. So we'll see how that goes. But before we get to that, this is the Brownscast, as I said, part of the Evergreen Podcast Network. And we are brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. For first-time depositors, enter in the code WFNY at checkout, and Underdog will match your deposit up to $100. Underdog is a great platform if you're tired of the DFS salary system. There are tons of games, types, and drafts every night of the week for every sport. Don't forget, use WFNY at checkout to get your first-time deposit matched up to $100. And that's Underdog. So, before we get to Buffalo, do we want to recap or kind of give our thoughts on what we saw on Sunday?
I have nothing more to add.
Yeah. That was a dumpster fire.
It was nothing substantial has come out
right
in the aftermath, aside from film of John Johnson once again not looking like he actually wants to play football sometimes, and Tony Fields not knowing what a juke move is. I don't know.
I think there
was a lot of film of defensive tackles running up field without any actual goal.
Yeah.
Like running themselves out of plays. Like this is shit that they teach you in high school.
I think some of them just the screenshots of how big the holes were, the gaps were in the run defense. It was just like historically bad. I don't know. I forget what stat it is. I think it might be EPA or something, but the Browns run defense is like historically it's getting up there as the historically bad. So, the film and then the stats definitely meet the eye there. So,
yeah, nothing is good.
No. So yeah, that's the that was the Miami game. They now move on to Buffalo. Buffalo is on a 2-game losing streak.
Yeah, they lost to the Jets and they lost to the Vikings.
Yes, so they're in third place now, I think.
Yeah, they are.
This is the weirdness of the NFL this year. But they are still the Buffalo Bills. They are have probably one of the best offenses in the league. 6-3 they are standing right now. It kind of shows you how strong that division is, that they're in third place, but 6-3.
Yeah. Two of their losses are in division, so
right, yeah. So that's why the tiebreaker there is. But what's your initial thoughts on the Buffalo Bills? Talk about them.
Well, my initial thought is I hope they don't watch film. I hope they try to throw the ball like they usually do.
Right.
Because there's no evidence that the Browns are going to be able to stop anyone when they try to run the ball with running backs. There hasn't been since the Bengals, and I don't know if the Bengals know how to watch film. So
that might be their advantage there. That just can't run the ball, or doesn't run the ball at least. And we'll see again if the Browns are the team once again to make them a run team
Well, the Browns might not be the ones that have to do that. I think the weather is going to do enough if they stay in Buffalo. But, because even if Sunday's 3 to 6 inches is the lowest snow total of the weekend there, which says a lot, the current wind forecast is a steady 31-mile-an-hour wind with 45-mile-an-hour gusts. So, like, throwing the ball, unless you're Josh Allen, is going to be difficult.
Yeah.
And even if you're Josh Allen, it's probably going to be difficult.
Yeah, this is going to be one of those. I think the last one was actually Buffalo Cleveland. How many years ago?
The last real bad snow game was Buffalo and Indianapolis in 2017 or 2018.
Yeah.
Tyrod Taylor beating the Colts in overtime in what's going to be similar to what they're playing in, if they play in Buffalo, yeah. It's what they're playing in on Sunday.
I want to go back to that Buffalo, that Browns game with the Bills a couple years ago. What year was that? 2007.
2007. I was there.
Yeah, oh, were you?
Yeah, I was there. Seemed like a lot of people were there. I don't know if that's
I know. It's one of those like 10-cent beer night. Oh, I was there.
Yeah. No, but I was there. I had part of my face was frostbitten for like a couple months. Maybe not frostbite, but it hurt for a few months from the wind. But yeah, it was certainly experience. I shared this story in the Discord, but I'll never forget the guy that was sitting next to me in the dog pound. He went and got a beer sometime in the first quarter. He came back and he stood there with it for a couple of minutes and then looked down at it and he was like, "There's an inch of snow in my beer. My beer has frozen."
Oh my God. So that was in 2007. It was 8-0.
Yes.
A barn burner.
Yeah. Why Romeo Crennel sent Phil Dawson out there to kick a 45-yard field goal, the world will never know. But
trivia, let's see if you have a good trivia question. Who was the Buffalo Bills quarterback?
Oh God, was that Trent Edwards?
Yes, good call. And who were the Browns?
That was Derek Anderson. That was still 2007 before Derek Anderson turned into a pumpkin.
Yeah,
I think he actually turned into a pumpkin the next week.
Yeah, I think
against Cincinnati.
So, yeah, and then that was Jamal Lewis having 163 yards. But do you remember the Buffalo running back?
It was Marshawn, wasn't it?
Yeah, Marshawn Lynch. God, I think there was a total of 22 completed passes. That was more than I expected.
No, a lot of them are the Bills were throwing like a lot of little screen passes and dump offs and
yeah. Fred Jackson was the leading receiver.
Yeah, like in the first, and I was sitting in the upper level of the dog pound for the first half. You could barely see past the 50-yard line. Like you would see shapes, you wouldn't see much. Like luckily, the Browns were wearing orange helmets. That's about the extent of what you could see across the field. And I can't imagine it was very easy on the quarterbacks that day. So,
yeah. So, So, if anything, we could draw from that, it's going to be a run game, obviously. But just based on paper, you would think the Browns would be well versed in this because they have the great run game, but when you have the run defense like the Browns do, it kind of lets that advantage kind of slip away a little bit in terms of kind of what the Browns have over Buffalo. But
this might turn into a game where each team has the ball like six times.
Yeah, and we're probably going to see a lot of running from Josh Allen, I would imagine.
Because yeah, I would not be shocked if the Bills came out and just did zone read stuff the entire game.
I think so too, right? Or at least like at the most, like short yard. We're not going to see his kind of giant arm today, this week, I think.
It would be kind of interesting if the Browns countered by sending Josh Dobbs out there to run the option.
That would be funny.
Like, that's not a bench Jacoby Brissett. That's a maybe this situation is better for this.
Yeah, that's. Could see. I don't know. I think anything is. We talked about it before getting on this pod. I think anything is possible in this game. This is probably one of the most unpredictable games that you could probably think of.
Until they inevitably move it to Detroit tomorrow.
Right.
And this whole
yes.
conversation and then, goes for naught.
Yes. And then Josh Allen throws for 500 yards.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I genuinely don't think the NFL will make them play this game in Buffalo. I think not because of the weather. I think it's going to be tough for the Bills to get to the stadium, let alone the Browns.
Right. Yeah. They're coming from their houses. Like,
like
that's 60. Well,
can any snow removal infrastructure in America keep up with 4 feet of snow in 2 days?
No,
Like no, I've seen what Independence, Ohio can do. They clear the roads pretty well. I don't think they could keep up with four feet of snow in 3 days.
Like Buffalo has tunnels for a reason. Like they prepare. They know they can't get all this together in what 3 days. But
I don't know how they're going to be able to keep the infrastructure clear enough to have a safe game day experience for the teams, right, for the fans, for anyone else who wants to go to the game. And not to mention having to clean out 4 feet of snow from the seating area of the stadium.
True.
Where does it, like, you can't put 4 feet of snow on the sidelines. You take up the entire sideline.
Right.
And they don't have that stadium is not, that the field is notoriously very close to the walls there. So there's not a whole lot of space to put snow.
Right. Yeah, I don't, like, you can't put it anywhere. Like, that's a really
No, you can't get 4 feet of snow and put it anywhere. It's right. It's just going to make somewhere else worse.
Right. That's why I'm shocked that Buffalo is not considering a dome next time, but whatever. So that's Buffalo right now. Their defense is really good. They have a strong pass rush behind Von Miller. That was their big off-season pickup. Their pass coverage is great. So you would, once again, you would think this is the day that the run game will be well suited for. But as we saw last week and in a couple of games before that,
even the worst run defenses can do well against the Browns because they don't have to respect the pass as much.
Yeah. And teams are going to be – teams are playing the Browns to the run game now. And especially in this game where passing is going to be hard anyways. And now you have Brissett throwing it. It's just going to be – it's going to be a tough one. I don't know if the – over under and points has changed recently, but it might probably change on game day once they see how many.
I don't know. What do you have it as?
It was 41.5 right now, but
It started at 49.5.
Right.
So it's come down quite a bit.
I'm guessing it's one of those things where you'll see it on Sunday morning and they're like, okay, it's going to be 25.
We're going to put this over under at about 17.
it's going to be tough to score. And that's not great when the defense, the clear advantage is on Buffalo's side in a game that you need your defense. This is not going to be, I just don't have good, I don't have good, feelings about this game.
No, I mean,
one way or another, wherever they play.
The snow is going to help, I would imagine, because snow just doesn't help anyone. So
true.
Like, it's going to be harder for running backs to make cuts, and everyone's going to be generally slower. Gabe Davis is probably not going to have that much of an impact in the game if there's 3 inches of snow on the ground. Like something like that. Like those are the thing. Like, if you want to look at how this game could play, it's going to be the game that the Bills played against the Colts a few years back that clinched the Bills. I think it didn't clinch the Bills playoff spot, but it kept them in the hunt late in the season. But I think that game went to overtime, tied at like 10 or something, or tied at 7 or 8 or something stupid.
Yeah.
There was 8 inches of snow in the end zones because that's just where the snow was piling up. And it's like that. That's if they play this game in Buffalo and it snows as much as it's supposed to on Sunday, that's kind of what I imagine this field is going to look like, because they're not going to be able to clear it off in any substantial way because there's not going to be any space left to put it unless you just bring dump trucks in to get the snow out. Or on Saturday night. Well, the problem with flamethrowers is it's going to be below freezing, so you're just going to create ice.
That's a good point. Oh, man.
There's no winning scenario in this.
There really isn't.
I think they either delay the game to Monday or Tuesday, or we really they move need it to Detroit.
We really need to give a little prayer to the Buffalo Bill field guys, because they're going to have a miserable time.
No, I mean, I just don't know how people are going to get to the stadium, let alone be able to clean it. So,
yeah,
I don't know. I want to watch a snow game. I think this snow game is the equivalent to saying there's a Category 4 hurricane coming through the day before the game. We're going to play anyway.
Right. Pretty much.
That's the level of like catastrophic weather event that they're staring in the face in Buffalo right now. So I don't think we can expect to play that game there.
Right. And I just saw I'm watching SportsCenter right now in the background here. They said latest decision would be Friday. So tomorrow we'll know one way or another, but
yeah, I mean, they have to make the decision because the Browns really needed to travel today.
I know. Yeah, that's why I'm surprised they're not making a decision right now, because I don't know. Has it started snowing in Buffalo?
No, it starts tonight. They're projecting, last I checked, it was 12 to 18 inches of snow tonight. So I'm gonna check on this. Man. But
gotta love it.
But it's not like there's things that are more important than football, and I think making people do this is more important than football.
That's what I'm wondering, if the government services kind of get into this and like, hey, this is a public emergency. We cannot have this. Like, this is not safe for the players, it's not safe for the fans, like,
yeah.
And the people that have to work there, like
yeah. They're projecting right now, AccuWeather is projecting 11 inches of snow tonight in Buffalo. And then tomorrow is another foot. And then tomorrow night's another 5 inches. So we're at like 2.5 feet of snow.
I don't know if you saw the game last night, the Shensel, Michigan game. Did you see any of the highlights of that?
I did.
Yeah. So that's just the start of it. Like, it has to come over Lake Erie and all that. And,
yeah.
Oh boy, you put all that lake effect and all that in there. Oh God.
Saturday night, they're projecting another foot of snow, so we're at 3.5 feet of snow.
Gaining 2 feet of 2 feet of stay. Jeez Louise.
I mean, it's. I really would have liked the NFL and the state government of New York to have made this decision before now, because the Browns need to know, the Bills need to know. The Bills are dealing with like a flu epidemic within their team, apparently.
Yeah, yeah.
I've seen that on Twitter.
They didn't have enough players to practice the other day.
Yeah, so like there's a lot of things going against this game playing on Sunday, and unless the NFL says we're going to play this game in Buffalo on Sunday, we're just not going to allow fans to be there. Which would be a choice.
I know. And like that's still like, you still got to have the workers that like run the stadium. Like, it's still, that's like a half-ass kind of decision. Yeah.
So ultimately I think this game's probably going to end up being in Detroit. The people who think play it in Cleveland, it's closer. They're not going to do that.
No, they don't want to give any edge to one team or whatever, but.
Well, I mean, taking the game out of a blizzard gives an edge to the Bills regardless. Yeah. So it doesn't matter if the game's in Cleveland, if it's going to be an advantage for the Bills.
Josh Allen versus his defense in a dome. Oh, God.
Yeah. I mean, that's the tough part about projecting this game. We don't know what game we're going to get.
Yeah.
So, like, we could offer two types of analysis here. We could give them the NFL was really stupid and decide to play in a regional emergency, or the NFL was smart and moved the game to Detroit.
Right. It's either going to be not a lot of points or just a buttload of points for the Buffalo, because it's going to swing. Like, this is going to swing the game. Like, I really didn't think the Browns had a chance coming into the week.
No, the weather would be the equalizer, but right. Like, at some point the weather becomes like if this game were hypothetically being played Saturday night for some reason, and you got a foot of snow during the game, which basically happened during the game in 2007. I think there were 8 inches of snow fell during the game.
Yeah.
There's just not a whole lot you can do.
Right. And it's gotten a lot more intrigue to this game, because it was going to be one of those like, oh God, they're playing the Buffalo Bills. After getting just rolled over by the Miami Dolphins, but we'll see.
To be fair, the Bills haven't exactly looked like world beaters the last few weeks, but like the Browns haven't either. So I can't really say that the Browns are going to have more of a chance because the Bills lost to the Jets.
Right.
The Browns should have beaten the Jets, but didn't. And like, there's just no metric that you can base the Browns on, because it feels like, aside from maybe the run defense, you're getting a different team every week.
True. Yeah.
And I think a lot of what we were saying last week about how the offense has hit the backup quarterback plateau is still going to apply for the next 2 weeks. If teams are just going to come out and bear defenses like they have with New England and with Miami, and say, Nick Chubb, you're not doing anything. Jacoby Brissett beat us. And Jacoby Brissett says, I don't want to throw into tight windows.
Right. You have no chance next 2 weeks.
Yeah. Because the Bucs defense is still pretty good, even if Tom Brady is finally at 45, right, showing signs of not being as good as he was.
Finally aging.
Yeah. Whatever devil magic was being thrust upon him has faded. It's hard to expect much of a different result right now. Like, the team could come out and win the next 2 games. Like, I think they have the ability to do it. Will they?
Yeah.
I don't know. And I can't really project that they will.
Yeah. It's going to be an interesting couple weeks here. Just like the weather and then what the Browns do each week, it's just like this game is just – it could go in a number of ways, and I wouldn't be shocked. Like, I can see the Browns running the ball really well. And
the last time the Browns and the Bills played, granted it was a different Josh Allen.
Yeah.
The defense played him pretty well, but that was also – I think that was Steve Wilkes.
I think that was
2018. So a lot of the same defensive players, but much different defensive scheme. I don't know. This defense seems to do pretty well against mobile quarterbacks for whatever reason. I mean, it would be nice to have JOK back this week. I haven't seen anything about whether or not he will be back. I don't think they lost anyone else on defense. So, like, it's a matter of finding defensive tackles that don't, like, totally suck. And continuing to play mistake-free football in the secondary, which, aside from one play against... Who was that against? That they had, like, the... There was one defensive breakdown a couple weeks ago. A few weeks ago. I think it might have been the Ravens. I don't know. Or the Patriots. But they haven't had any like catastrophic secondary breakdowns since the Jets, or the game right after the Jets.
It's one of those things, though, that like the run defense is so bad. It doesn't need to. Offenses are just running down the field with so much ease, like they don't need to go for the big play.
Yeah.
But
Pit Pass Moto, sponsored by Moto America, is the show that keeps you up to speed on the latest in motorcycling and brings the biggest names in motorcycle racing right to you. From candid interviews with the top names in racing to providing insights into the trends and trendsetters driving the motorcycle industry, we have you covered. New episodes are available every Thursday at pitpassmoto.com and on your favorite podcast app. Ride on.
Yeah, so I was just looking at the injury report from yesterday. JOK actually played in full or practiced, so that's a good sign.
So we should, I mean, if he's practicing in full, we should probably expect him to play.
I would hope so, yeah. And then Wyatt Teller and Ethan Prosic are limited, and then a lot of them are rest, but the kind of the big ones are Michael Dunn and Njoku have still not practiced, so we'll see.
Well, Dunn was inactive last week, so he was clearly right. A little bit hurt. I think anyone with a lower leg injury, a la Njoku and Teller, if you're playing in a snow game, you probably don't want to do that.
Right.
So
like this would be a great week to have him back, but yeah, you can't put him out there with
no
unstable footing there. Yeah,
Posick, I imagine, will be fine. Like Lyman
just go back in. Like, unless your like leg is like broken or something, like they'll go right back in.
Yeah.
And it was limited. So,
and for the most part, Froholt has been okay. He was good against the Bengals. He had really bad reps against the Dolphins.
Really, the problem has been the tackles. It hasn't really been the interior, which has.
Yeah, Conklin had some uncharacteristic bad reps last week.
Yeah,
Wills had an okay game, but had some bad reps.
It's just a roller coaster, man. He's almost like a better version of the Chetty Osmond. Like he's just up and down. Like he could just have some of the best sets you've ever seen, like you see in the NFL, and then you have it looks like he's just not coming out of his set and the guys around him. Like it's really his performance so far in his career has just been a really conundrum to me. Like the talent is there, I don't know what it is. He doesn't put it all together in a complete performance a lot of times.
No, and I mean, we were spoiled for the longest time by watching Joe Thomas go out there and basically be a robot.
Very true.
So
I wonder how much our thinking is. But we did come off of just some horrible tackles after Joe Thomas. So it's like, I think we're seeing the actual middle guy finally, rather than just absolutely horrid and then Hall of Famer.
I'm not so out on Wills that like I don't want them to bring him back. I think they have to decide whether or not they pick up his fifth year after this year. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not easy to find guys.
Right.
Like Joe Thomas or even like Jedrick Wills to like that talent is hard to come by. So if you find someone that's at least reliable 80% of the time, I think you got to pay him because you rather have the devil you know than the devil you don't.
Right. Yeah. I think the fifth year is obviously going to be picked up, but I think the real question will be what a year from now kind of figure.
I mean,
it might not be bad,
obviously you want to have Joe Thomas, but having someone who's a couple steps below that can still get the job done, but isn't going to demand the kind of salary that someone like Joe Thomas, like a player Joe Thomas's caliber will, might be good for this team going forward because we have so much money plowed into our quarterback.
Yeah, true. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. And especially with like, we're going to see this coming up when Deshaun gets on the field. He's going to cover up a lot of things.
Defenses won't be able to play the 46 defense anymore with him out there because he can just run around the edge if he needs to. Or
or throw it deep. And yeah, it's, yeah, he's just going to cover up so much stuff that we haven't seen a quarterback do
In the last 23 years of this franchise, right. If the franchise was stolen.
Yeah.
So
correct.
Yeah.
So yeah. I don't know how we got into this, but
well, we got to this because we don't know what the game is going to be on Sunday. So
sure.
Like we want to talk about it, but like, how can we provide a good preview if we don't know what the game's going to be?
So we can talk about it like this. So we'll do it how you were talking about. So if it's a Snow Bowl, I think it's, if it stays in Buffalo, it's going to be low scoring. It's going to be just whoever can stop the run better. And that's not a great sign for your Cleveland Browns. But, and then if it's in the dome, I think it's going to be, I don't know if the Browns can really win in the dome.
Well, if it's in Detroit, I have a feeling we're going to see a similar offense to what we did last week, except for you're going to see a lot more quarterback run.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, I don't know how much they're going to want to run and put him in harm's way right now.
Yeah.
Because of the elbow.
Right.
So you might get relegated to Devin Singletary, who's not, like, ever been a great runner.
Yeah.
Like, the difference with what the Dolphins did last week and what the Dolphins did last week is Jeff Wilson has been a decent running, like, he's shown that he can run the ball. He can find holes and do it. Has Devin Singletary shown that? Off and on, maybe?
He's had, like, these kind of good games and...
But most of his good games are predicated on him being able to catch the ball, too. He's very good at that.
Yeah.
So I just don't know what we're going to get out of that rush offense. I mean, they just don't have a running back that they rely enough on to carry the ball a ton. Their running back has been Josh Allen, who's their leading rusher with like 460 yards.
Right.
So.
Yeah. So. That's basically what we're thinking. I guess let's get to the kind of keys to victory, I guess.
Keys to victory.
If the NFL
forces them to play,
yes, two separate keys
in victory. Emergency in 3 feet of snow. I mean, the keys to victory would be just to do enough on offense. I want to say, I mean, you're not going to give Nick Chubb 40 carries. I think if you go back and look at the game that Jamal Lewis had, I think he had, you had it pulled up. I think he had what, like 26 carries, 27 carries?
33.
Yeah. Which, you know, is a lot, but, you know, given the circumstances, and they didn't really have a backup. So I imagine, if the game is played in Buffalo, you're probably going to have Nick Chubb at like 24 carries and Kareem Hunt with like 17 and Jacoby Brissett with like 5. And Jacoby Brissett's probably not going to throw more than 15, 16 passes.
Right.
And your hope is that you can generate enough offense with that. I mean, whatever you're going to do, it's going to be, I mean, you're probably going to see some Nick Chubb direct snaps. I wouldn't be surprised if there's some Nick Chubb zone read with Kareem Hunt. That'd be kind of interesting to watch.
Yeah.
Hopefully that wouldn't end in a fumble because I'd like to see that formation. You're just going to have to keep the Bills off the field as much as you can because they're going to be trying to keep you off the field as much as they can because the game is going to be pretty short. I think if you play in Buffalo, you're probably not going to have more than 7-8 possessions. So, I mean, if the game is played in Detroit, don't let it turn into a blowout like last week, basically.
Yeah.
I think if you're in the game late, the Bills have kind of – actually, I saw a stat after the game last Sunday. In the last two or three seasons, the Bills are 2-8 in one-score games.
Interesting. Oh.
Which is bizarre. Like – usually yeah. Teams that are good have good records in one-score games, but I think the Bills are either – they're winning by just crushing teams most weeks.
Yeah.
They have a lot of like they have a lot of like 10 to 13 point wins, I think.
Yeah.
So
yeah, they lost last week in a one score game.
They lost Detroit. They lost to Miami in a one score game. They lost to the Jets in a one score game. So they're 0-3 this year in one score games.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting. Okay. Yeah, I definitely agree. It's for the Browns. It's kind of hope that they. I know we don't want to because it's bigger than football, but they. Hope that you stay in Buffalo and play in Buffalo because I don't see any sort of chance if they play in Detroit versus Josh Allen. And then, yeah, as you said, just kind of control time of possession is going to be really big in this game if they play it in Buffalo. It's because it's going to be a quick game. And it's going to be not many possessions. Because I doubt teams are going to be wanting to punt.
No.
Like we may see kind of a lot of fourth down go for it because there's just – you're not going to make a field goal unless it's like on a, what, extra point or old extra point
yep.
style. But, yeah, it's that's basically where that's at.
Yeah. Just looking at it, the Bills – were 0-6 last year in one score games.
Wow.
That's 0-7 if you include the playoffs.
That is interesting. Then, so make it
this year they are 0-1, 1-1, 2-1, 2-2, 2-3. So
there you go.
2-10 in their last 12 one score games.
Keep it close and see where you're at the end.
Yeah.
Basically what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, this is the most unpredictable prop bets of the week here.
How did we do last week?
Last week, I did excellent, and you and Gerbs tied for – had a poor week, 2-7. Ouch. I went 7-2. So this is pretty funny. Our season total right now is I'm 25-24, and you're 24-25. So we're really close. We're going neck and neck here.
We're not making money if we're betting actual money right on these things.
But we're not losing it either. Well, no. A little bit, but so okay. Well, just to kind of skim through what happened last week. Browns plus 3.5. I was the only one who took the Dolphins, and they won by 22. Over under 48.5. They blew that away at 56 points, and we all have that correct. 86.5 rushing yards for Chubb. He only had 63, so we were all wrong on that. Tyreek Hill, 94.5 receiving yards. He only had 44 yards, and me and Gerbs were correct on that one. 280.5 passing yards for Tua. He just got over that at 285, so I was correct on that. And then who wins the biggest turnover battle? Who wins the turnover battle? Dolphins won, so me and you were correct on that. And then this one is the funniest one. The biggest difference in total yards. We all thought the Browns run game.
Yeah.
And that was, that did not go correct.
No, it did not.
The Dolphins outgained them by 80 yards.
Yep, 83.
And then the last one is Browns touchdown leader. So it was a tie between Chubb and Bryant. So I had Chubb. So that was correct. And then you and Gerbs went with the Browns to win. And then I went Dolphins. So I got that correct. So there you go, 7-2. And you were 2-7. So we're neck and neck here heading into week 11. Right now it sits at Browns. This is as of last night. So take it granted there. Browns plus 7.5. What you got? Gerbs has Browns, by the way.
I also think Browns, but I don't think that's necessarily because they're going to win. Obviously I think this changes if they move this game.
Right.
So I think we might need to reevaluate if they move the game and come back and redo this. But for now, I'll take the Browns with the points.
Okay. Let's put this disclosure here. So this is if it stays in Buffalo.
Yes.
If it moves, then we'll throw all this away and we won't count it for this week. But if it stays in Buffalo, this is what our predictions are. I definitely agree. I am going to go with Browns too, because I just, as you said, I don't think scoring is going to be.
Yeah, I don't think there's going to be enough points scored to really, right, unless the Browns don't score, which I guess is an option. But unless the Browns don't score, it's going to be hard to cover 7.5.
Yeah. And then this next one is going to be, I think we're all under on this, is 41.5 right now. Total points, but
I mean, what does that require? That requires
20 to 22.
Yeah, that requires each team scoring 21 points. If the game stays in Buffalo, I suppose it could happen. I mean, if the Browns rush offense figures its shit out and the Bills decide to run the ball, that could happen. But I'm gonna take the safe route and go under.
Yeah. Same, I'm going under. I just don't see it. So the next one is interesting. It's Josh Allen, 320 total yards. So that can be rushing or passing. His average is 350, I think, something around that. The average is about 300 yards passing and 50, a little bit over 50 rushing yards per game. So this will be well under his average, but what do you think? 320 total yards.
Over. I think he probably has 150 rushing yards and 170 passing yards.
Okay. So what did Gerbs did under? Let's see.
I just don't know how else they're going to move the ball. If they're going to move the ball, it's going to be him.
That makes sense. Yeah, I think under.
320 is a very high number.
320 is a very high number, but his average is 350, so it would be under his usual. But I don't know, man. I don't know how things are gonna move.
Yeah,
I'm gonna go barely under. I think he's gonna get close. I think his rushing, he'll be over 100 yards, but I don't know about passing. I don't know if he could get to 200, but we never know. Never count out the Browns defense.
Yeah, I don't. So, I mean,
that's all I'd say. Next one is still, we're staying on Josh Allen, is 2.5 total touchdowns. So that can be passing, rushing.
Well, that implies there's going to be 3 touchdowns scored by an offense in a game. So under.
Under. Yeah, I'm going to go. I'm going to go under. I think he'll get like 2.
Yeah, either team scoring 3 or 4 touchdowns in this game feels hard. It doesn't feel like if it's being, granted, the field conditions could actually be okay. It's not like they're going to be playing on a foot of snow. If they're going to be playing in Buffalo, the field could only have an inch or so on it, and like the field conditions won't be awful. The wind is still going to hurt things.
Yeah, the wind might be the even bigger kind of story.
Yeah.
What did you say, 30 miles per hour?
Yeah, like a steady 30 mile an hour wind with gusts of 40 to 50.
Like, I remember, what was that, 2 years ago when the Browns played Oakland? Vegas.
Houston.
Now.
The Houston game was worse.
Yeah, the Houston, and then they played Philly in the wind. Yeah, I was at the Philly game, and that was just terrible. But they couldn't do anything. Like, it was, passes were just
dying.
It was tough to score. And then you add on kind of a little shaky field stability, and I think it's going to even be worse. So, I think we're all under on that. I'm going to, I think Stephon Diggs, 90 receiving yards. That was what, so he averages about 100, a little over 100 per game.
Yeah.
This is, I'm going to go under because, again, I don't think – but I think it might be close because he is their guy, and he is Josh Allen's guy. He throws to him the most by far.
Yeah.
I think he'll get close, but I think – because he's such a good player after the catch, and he can make tough catches. So I think he'll still be productive, but I think 90 is just – a little too tall of a task.
Yeah, I'll go under on that as well. Okay. The reasoning is pretty much the same as yours. I don't know where passing offenses are going to be, so it's hard to say that any receiver is going to have 100 yards of receiving yards unless he breaks a few tackles and goes for 80 on one of them.
Right. Just going back on that Browns Buffalo game in 2007, the leading receiver in the whole entire game was Braylon Edwards. He had 64 yards. So,
yeah.
Gotta give you a clue there. Next one is Nick Chubb, 90 rushing yards.
Well, if the Browns are going to have any chance, they need to be over.
I agree. I'm going over too because, and Gerbs is going over also.
I don't know where else their offense is going
to
come from.
Right. He has to have 90 yards rushing to even.
He has to have 90 yards. Hunt might need to have 75 yards. Like,
right.
They need to be able to run the ball.
Right. Because I didn't put a Brissett one on here because I don't know if he gets over 150 or something yards passing.
Yeah.
Like, it's just going to be like, he's not. He's one of those quarterbacks that I don't think can play in snow and strong wind. It's going to be
no.
Like, he doesn't have that kind of arm and talent, but hey, you never know.
Yeah.
And then the next one is Browns touchdown leader. Gerbs went with Chubb. I'm going to go with Chubb too.
Do I want the point or do I want to be different?
I feel like it's either Chubb or Hunt. Or Sneak God. Well, I said besides Brissett, so.
I mean, is Njoku playing? We don't know. We don't think so.
No, I don't think so.
No, I'll go with Amari Cooper just to be different.
Okay. We can see the kind of out routes, quick out routes to him. So
I could see a slant working at the goal line.
And it's kind of something that we haven't talked about. Like, these short passes do work because obviously the cornerback doesn't know where the heck you're going, and the receiver does. So footing is better when you know where you're going. It could, like, those quick passes could be successful. But I see that. Cooper. And then the last one, I threw this in kind of because of the snow. It's going to be who wins the time of possession. Gerbs went with the Browns.
I think the Browns do. I think even when they play bad games, they win time of possession. So, yeah. Because the other team is scoring very quickly.
I would agree. I'm going Browns on the time of possession. I think it'll be close because I don't think anybody's going to be making big plays, but
yeah.
Okay. And then Gerbs predicted Bills 14-7. What's your score prediction?
I'm gonna go Bills 15-12. The only made kick is a game winning kick at the end when the score is tied at 12. Two touchdowns each and a field goal at the end.
How long is the field goal?
30 yards.
30 yards. Okay. They do have a good kicker. What is his name? Bass?
Kyle yeah,
some bass. Okay, Bills 15. I'm going to go Bills. Oh man, I'm going to go Bills 16-2. Browns are going to score 16-7. I think the Bills go for two twice.
Yeah, I can see that.
16-7. Yeah, so we're all on the same page. This is not going to be a scoring game.
No, unless the game's in Detroit.
Right. And then
in which my score prediction is like 34-20.
That's gonna be such a wide range, but yeah. Any kind of final thoughts before we're gonna wrap it up here?
I want to see a snow game. I don't think that this is the right one.
Yeah.
This might be cruel.
Yes. If everything is forecasted correctly, this is probably shouldn't be played here in Buffalo. But
no, I just,
you never know with the NFL though.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure the Browns, the only reason the Browns would want to move is because they don't know how they're going to get there. I think the Browns see the writing on the weather forecast and say, this is a game that we can steal now because their offense is so predicated on the pass. But I imagine the Bills would rather keep the community safe, which, you know, is valid, but they'd rather go see the game moved. And I don't know who you're going to listen to more in this situation, probably the team that's better. And I just don't think they're going to end up playing this game in Buffalo. I just don't think it makes sense.
Before we kind of get out of here, I just was scrolling through Twitter and they're practicing right now, and Njoku is practicing today.
He's out of practice still. He was practicing last week too and didn't play. So
true. Yeah, and this is looks like it's only in kind of the practice sets without any coverage or anything. So.
Yeah,
take that for what it is, but yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I do agree. I don't think this is the game you kind of put him out there. The guy that's coming off a knee injury.
Yeah,
I don't think you want to kind of stress it with all the snow on the ground.
Yeah, slick playing surface feels like a bad.
Yeah,
and cold weather in general is usually bad for those kind of injuries.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So, I don't know if this is the game you run him out there, but I mean, if he's ready to go, he's ready to go.
Yeah. True. Yeah.
He'd be helpful.
Yeah, we don't know how, like, he might have been just ready to go last week and they kind of just let him sit for one more week. So maybe he is back to full health, but
yeah,
we'll see. Other than that, it's just going to be these next couple days are going to be interesting to see kind of what the decision will be.
I mean, we're going to know soon.
Right. How much I wonder, yeah. I wonder, I feel like we'll get a decision sometime in the morning, kind of after
we're gonna end this podcast and they're gonna announce it at like
right. I know, yeah. We'll get right back on.
Browns cast like, previewed round two,
yeah. I feel like it's one of those, they'll kind of wake up in the morning. You said it's gonna start snowing tonight, right?
Yeah,
yeah. So I think they'll kind of see, oh crap, it's we just got a foot already. We probably shouldn't.
Well, shit.
I thought these forecasts would be wrong.
The weatherman didn't lie. Oh God, man. Jim Cantore's out there. We're screwed.
I know, yeah. If Jim Cantore comes to your town, you're in trouble. You're in trouble.
The Jim Cantore matrix. The metric.
Yeah, the Venn diagram.
The flow chart of Jim Cantore storms. Is Jim Cantore there? Yes. You're screwed. No. Go have a good day.
Oh, man. Yeah. So it's going to be interesting to see. Really, like, in terms of just interest, obviously the Buffalo, being in Buffalo would be a lot more entertaining for me. But yeah. Obviously, as you said, in the greater scheme of things and
health, you know, the greater scheme health, of human life,
public health, probably not the greatest idea. But we'll see. You know the NFL, they don't give a shit about anybody else. Yeah. except kind of their product and going by what's on paper. They don't want to make changes often. There was a hurricane, what was it, early in the year? Who was it?
Yeah.
It was the
Tampa game, yeah.
Yeah.
And the hurricane ended up missing, but
right. And they still and they played and but we'll see. It's gonna be interesting next couple of days, and we'll see how much snow actually comes in Buffalo. But thanks for joining us, everybody. This is another WFY Browns cast. Browns versus Bills preview. Who the heck knows how it happens? But yeah, go Browns.
Yep.
I'm Ken Harbaugh, host of Warriors in Their Own Words, a podcast that presents the unvarnished, unsanitized truth of what we have asked of those who defend this nation. As a country, we need these stories more than ever. Stories from Americans who have borne the battle, including 30-year-old remastered interviews with veterans from World War I recounting their time in the trenches of Europe, and with veterans from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and from our most recent conflicts in Iraq, Afghanistan, and other battlefields Americans may never have heard of. Hear their stories by listening to Warriors in Their Own Words wherever you find podcasts.